Welcome to Philosophy at Guelph, a monthly podcast of interviews with philosophers in or visiting the Department of Philosophy at the University of Guelph. I'm John Hecker-Wright, Assistant Professor of Philosophy at the University of Guelph, and today I'm going to be interviewing two philosophers of science in our department, Andrew Wayne and Stefan Lindquist. We're going to talk about what philosophy of science is, how it's done, and why it's done, and we're going to talk about the Philosophy of Science Research Group at Guelph. Andrew, let me start with you. Could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yes, I'm Andrew Wayne. I'm a faculty member in the Department of Philosophy. I did an undergraduate degree in physics at the University of Toronto, and then I switched over and did a graduate degree in philosophy at the University of California, San Diego. My research focuses in philosophy of science, particularly philosophy of physics, and also on the history and the development of modern physics. So I've done research on historical and conceptual development of quantum mechanics and particle physics from about 1930 to the present. That was actually my dissertation topic. I've done quite a bit of work on reductionism in physics, and I'm currently working on issues to do with modeling and idealization in science.
Stefan, could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Thanks, John. My name is Stefan Lindquist. I'm a philosopher of science at the University of Guelph, and I specialize in the philosophy of biology. My undergrad degree is in philosophy, and then I did a master's degree in biology before doing a PhD in philosophy of biology. And so I do research on a wide range of topics in philosophy of biology. And for example, one of the things I work on is the role of models in ecology, and specifically how it could be the case that something as complex as an ecological system could potentially be understood by a relatively simple mathematical model, and what are the philosophical issues surrounding the use of those sorts of models.
I wonder if each of you could tell me how you define philosophy of science. What generally do you take to be its project? Andrew?
Well, I mean, historically, the distinction between philosophy of science and science wasn't really made until around the Second World War. So prior to that, major developments in physics, at least, from Galileo through to Newton, Einstein, and the founders of quantum mechanics, were based as much on what we would today think of as philosophical considerations as they were on experimental or purely scientific considerations. So Einstein, for instance, began his thinking about space and time, wondering about how to define the notion of simultaneity, that two events at spatially distant places happen at the same time. A purely philosophical investigation, which led him through a series of steps to the special theory of relativity. Similarly, the founders of quantum mechanics were dealing with some philosophical, puzzling or seemingly paradoxical experimental results that really required them to, so to speak, think entirely outside the box to develop their new formalism.
Okay, Stefan, how would you define philosophy of science?
Well, like Andrew, I see it as being continuous with scientific practice. So I don't see the philosophy science as up to a different sort of project than what scientists are doing sometimes. Although I know there are people out there who do view it that way. So what do I view it as? I view it as often where philosophy of science comes in is at the places where scientists haven't worked out exactly how to formulate a question or how to go about researching it. So those kinds of skills are very traditionally philosophical sorts of skills and questions where we try to ask, okay, so what is the thing that we want to know here and how do we go about determining it? And so that is something that scientists can do, and it's something that philosophers can do, and I think that that's very much what is happening these days in the philosophy of science.
So each of you approaches the philosophy of science with an emphasis on a different science. Let me ask each of you to reflect on your differences. Does doing philosophy of different sciences result in philosophical differences between you? That is, do you approach your questions differently or possibly arrive at different views because you are working on different sciences?
Well, I think one of the most, if not the most striking difference between biology and physics is that in physics, most scientists and philosophers are reductionists. So they believe that ultimately the phenomena can be derived from some fundamental theory, predicted on the basis of that theory, and explained in terms of that theory. So while we may have now different theories in different domains, we have an account in solid-state physics for the flexibility of metals, ultimately, most philosophers of physics and physicists believe we will be able to explain that phenomena in terms of fundamental physical theory, which at this point is a version of quantum mechanics. Whereas in biology, I believe there's a contrasting situation.
Yeah, that's right. Well, of course, there are exceptions to this, but my sense is that the consensus view in the philosophy of biology is that it is an anti-reductionist consensus, whereby the sorts of generalizations that one finds in, for example, ecology or developmental biology or evolutionary theory cannot profitably be derived from any low-level theory such as physics. So maybe there might be some supercomputer that could do it someday, but that wouldn't be anything resembling the kind of explanation that we would recognize as being informative. And perhaps it couldn't even be done in principle. So I think that, yes, there's a difference there where philosophers of physics tend to be reductionists and philosophers of biology, with some important exceptions, tend to be non-reductionists.
Now I want to shift and talk more about the purposes of doing philosophy of science. Why should we do it? Does it have any practical value, or is that an impertinent question?
Well, I think it does have a practical value, and I think some of those values Stefan has already described. But I think we should do philosophy of science for reasons that go beyond its practical value. Philosophy of science, like the rest of philosophy, is distinctive for its orientation towards understanding as opposed to knowledge. So put somewhat broadly, science often aims to know what happened, what the relevant laws are, what the causes are that brought about a certain event. The point of philosophy, by contrast, is to understand the significance or the meaning of what is known. So I think that orientation towards understanding helps philosophy serve a fundamental human need, that of making sense of our position in the world, whose workings we now see are the result of scientific laws. So in order to lead a life worth living, it's not sufficient to get knowledge of those laws, as science does, but we also want to interpret our various human endeavors, both the scientific and the cultural ones, through an investigation of their purposes and the values that stand behind them. Of course, this goes beyond philosophy of science, but philosophy of science fits into that broader philosophical project.
The physicist Steven Weinberg famously wrote, "We should not expect philosophy of science to provide today's scientists with any useful guidance about how to go about their work or about what they are likely to find." Do you agree with this?
Well, I think, as with much of Weinberg's writings, he's being deliberately provocative here. I mean, Steven Weinberg is actually very well read and thought deeply about philosophical issues. I've been to philosophy conferences where he's attended and presented, but he really likes to tease philosophers and needle them whenever he gets the chance. Of course, as he says, we shouldn't expect philosophers of science to tell scientists how to do their work or to predict what they're likely to find at the end of an experiment. But that said, philosophers of science do work that is of great interest to and is useful for science. As we've talked about already, the strict separation between philosophy of science and science is really a recent phenomenon.
To add to that, I agree with everything you said, and just might add that I work a fair bit in collaboration with scientists here at the University of Guelph. I'm involved in several such projects, and I'd like to think that they keep me around. So there's some indication there that hopefully I'm offering some value. And when I try and reflect on what that value might possibly be, the one thing that I conclude is that there are certain skills that we develop as a result of our philosophical training. Identifying argument structure, separating out different assumptions and analyzing arguments. And those are valuable skills that can make an important contribution to what scientists are doing.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah. Do you think that most scientists agree with Weinberg or no?
Well, my sense is that they there's a lot of variation in whether or not they agree with Weinberg. So as I mentioned, the ones that I work with, I'd like to think they don't agree. I'm pretty sure they don't. But then I've also encountered other scientists, and I have colleagues who work in departments where there is the relationship between the scientist and the philosopher is much less congenial than it is here. And my hypothesis for what's going on there is that all it takes is sort of one bad interaction. So I think that there are cases where scientists have interacted with philosophers who perhaps didn't take the time to understand the science, came across as overly critical, or, you know, various other possibilities, and that that soured their impression of philosophy. And thankfully, there are many other scientists who've had a good impression and that are very interested in working with philosophers, and there are several of those here, and I co-teach with them and collaborate with them.
Is philosophy of science something important for the general public to learn about, do you think?
Indeed, I think it is. And the example that comes to mind when you ask that question is the climate change debate that's currently happening in the media, where I think that that debate betrays a very deep misunderstanding of what science does. A lot of the debate over whether climate change is happening, yes or no, has addressed whether it's controversial as to whether climate change is happening at a certain rate and magnitude. And that betrays a misunderstanding about the importance and the role of controversy in science. So we're in the situation where I think that scientists often feel that they have to represent or package their position as being less controversial than perhaps it is, because the public has a misunderstanding of the role of controversy in science. So one of the things that philosophy of science does is it talks about these methodological issues. What function does controversy have in science? Why would you expect it to always be there? And so the hope would be that if more people took that sort of a philosophical approach and learned about it, that the debate over things like climate change could reach a higher level.
Andrew?
Yeah, I would certainly agree, and I think climate change is a great example of the preeminent role that science and technology play, the authority that they have in contemporary society, and that gives an added urgency to the importance of philosophy of science for the general public. I mean, in contemporary society, scientists have a great deal of authority, and questions of scientific fact, whether it's social science or natural science, pervade pretty much all the important political, public policy and social decisions. So we live in a time where questions of right and wrong, questions of value, seem to be kind of swamped by questions of fact. So when the question is whether we should invest in a new missile defense system, you might think that the questions of value are the key ones there, but no, the public debate revolves around issues of accuracy and cost and how many people can it kill and so on. So, I mean, what philosophy of science can do here is try to parse out these issues and to recognize the role of you know, the authority of science in society.
So let's shift to talking about the philosophy of science research group. What is it and what are you trying to do?
Recently, Andrew and I realized that we have some resources across campus that are very valuable for doing philosophy of science, and that there are people in other departments, in the physics department, in integrative biology, and in environmental sciences, who are interested in doing philosophy and in working with philosophers. Given that the philosophy of science as a discipline is trending towards a direction where people who work in that field need to have some scientific training, we realize that Guelph is well positioned to provide that. So what this research group is partly just a consolidation of existing resources. That is, you know, a kind of a network that recognizes, to a certain extent, the amount of collaborative research that was happening already, but also just facilitates additional research, and opens the door potentially for graduate students who want to make contacts with scientific experts in the field that they want to work on so that they know where to go and where to find them.
Yeah, there are other philosophy science graduate programs in our area, certainly in Canada, but as Stefan said, Guelph has a unique close collaboration between scientists and philosophers, and also historians and some social scientists. So we think that we can offer a unique kind of graduate experience. Ultimately, we want the research group to develop perhaps a separate stream or program, graduate program in philosophy of science that would really emphasize Guelph's unique close collaboration between scientists and philosophers.
And so there are several graduate students working on philosophy of science here at Guelph now. What sorts of things are they working on?
Well, I've got a graduate student working on reductionism. Reductionism in molecular biology, and he's got a scientist on his dissertation committee, another common feature. I have another student writing a dissertation on the role of the conscious observer in quantum mechanics and trying to reconcile the kind of active role that observation plays in quantum mechanics with some sensible understanding of consciousness. Great project, challenging project. Got another graduate student writing a dissertation on some aspects of the work of Thomas Kuhn, the historian and philosopher Thomas Kuhn, particularly trying to make sense of some of the more challenging issues to do with paradigm change and scientific revolutions.
So two graduate students at the moment. One of them is working on the concept of the gene in the field of personalized genomics, and that's the field that I think a lot of us are going to be become more familiar with in coming years, where we send away a swab of our DNA and a corporation tells us the likelihood of contracting certain ailments, for example. But so one student's working on the concept of the gene in that area. Very interesting stuff. And another graduate student is working on environmental decision-making. So how one goes about balancing ethical and economic and scientific considerations into a justifiable sort of procedure for deciding how to go about making decisions on a political level that have an important environmental impact.
Excellent. So how would someone prepare to do philosophy of science here at Guelph?
I think a background in either science or philosophy, or both, would be great. I mean, I came to philosophy of science from a physics degree, having done almost no philosophy, just a couple of courses as an undergraduate. Other people come to graduate work in philosophy science from a philosophy degree with really no scientific background. In fact, my graduate student who's working on consciousness and quantum mechanics has no prior background in physics, so he's picking it up as he goes along. I think the key thing is an interest in and a willingness to tackle technical questions in both science and philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really don't have anything to add to that. I agree that either sort of background would be useful, and that what you lack, you'll make up for, basically. And that, but one thing you would expect to do is to do a bit of science as well as doing philosophy.
Well, thank you both for joining me today.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah.